Amen. Please turn to John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read out of the King James Bible. Please feel free to read out of whichever translation you have. Let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Tonight we're going to talk about perseverance in the face of opposition. Some may ask the question, what is perseverance? Simple. According to Merriam-Webster, to persevere means to continue doing something or to continue trying to do something, even when it is difficult. It means to persist with an undertaking of something in spite of opposition or discouragement. What is perseverance? It is the quality, or we can say the character, that allows someone to continue trying to do something even though it is difficult. Perseverance is the continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. So what is opposition? Opposition is an action that is done to stop or defeat someone or something. It is a hostile or contrary action or condition. So let's put it together. What is perseverance in the face of opposition? It looks like this. It is continuing to do or attempt to do something when there is hostile opposition, resistance, difficulty, tragedy, failure, defeat, discouragement, waiting for you to fail. One of the synonyms for perseverance is steadfastness. That means being firmly fixed in your place or immovable. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58. In the King James Bible, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, say steadfast, unmovable, say unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Amplified Bible, that says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted. It is for no purpose. Discouragement may come in the form of opposition, and it may come across that, you know what, why am I doing this? Why do I keep putting my hand to this? Why do I keep praying for these people? Why do I keep giving out to these people? Why do I go through this? And at times, if we buy into that thought, we can allow ourselves to sway and we stop persevering in that direction, in that understanding of what God has given us to do, requires of us, or called us to do. It's very key in persevering in conflict and opposition. Watch your thoughts and your words. Two key areas. If you allow thoughts of discouragement, if you meditate on the opposition, the challenge, oh, it's so hard. It doesn't appear to be getting any better. I've been doing this thing for 25 years and I'm still going through this. They're not listening to me. Where is the help, Lord? You start meditating on that and you stop trying to persevere. You stop trying to make an attempt to overcome. What you meditate on in your thoughts, what comes out of your mouth, will eventually affect your actions in your faith walk. According to Reverend Tony Cook, when he was here, he shared that perseverance is one of the characteristics of a good or successful Christian. I would dare say that perseverance is a characteristic that requires constant development throughout our Christian walk. Would you agree? Perseverance partners together with patience and commitment and causes us to become strong in our faith and unswerving in our commitment to God and His purpose for our lives. But someone asked the question, how is perseverance developed? I'm glad you asked that. Anyone want to guess? Mm-hmm. Perseverance is developed through opposition. If there were no opposition, you would have nothing to persevere in. I looked through the book of Acts and I found sometimes we like to think that we are a unique breed, that we're the only ones dealing with opposition. We're the only ones who are being resisted. We're the only ones going through whatever we're going through. But the Lord had me go back and walk through the book of Acts, and I found so many examples of opposition that the early church faced, and yet they were required to persevere in the work that God had called them to. Tonight, we're going to look at a few, just a few of those examples. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 in the New King James Version. Now, I'm going to cover a lot of ground in Scripture, but I'm not going to read all of it. So we're going to course across the Scriptures, and I will give you backdrop for understanding of the point that we're addressing. Starting in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now people were in awe. This is my insert. They were in awe and they marveled at Peter and John because they saw something they had not seen before. The backdrop from verse 11 through verse 26 of that same chapter shares that Peter and John went into the temple and the people were marveling because they were wondering, how did this happen? But Peter begins to expound, unctioned by the Holy Ghost. He begins to expound and he basically says, it's not us that did the work. Go down to verse 16 in the same chapter. Peter says, and his name, speaking about Jesus, that name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And as a result of Peter's preaching, those religious leaders of the day, they got upset. It was like, how dare you? Who are you to preach in that name? Turn over to Acts chapter 4. We're picking up the story, verses 1 through 3. Now, as they spoke to the people, The priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. They came upon Peter and John, being greatly disturbed that they taught people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, on Peter and John, and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Now remember, Peter and John were going to Bible. They were going to prayer service. On their way in, they saw a man lame. Being disciples of Christ, it's not out of the ordinary that they would do what Jesus would have done. They would speak the word of healing to that man. The power of God would operate through them for that man's benefit. But here we see in verses 4 through 12 of Acts 4, those religious leaders were so upset that they met the next day and they brought Peter and John before them for questioning as to how or by whom did they perform this miracle on this man. Again, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, Peter boldly declares to them Jesus. The religious leaders, after a private deliberation, they put Peter and John out and they had a conversation amongst themselves. The religious leaders called Peter and John back in, and then they threatened them not to speak to anyone about Jesus ever again. Would you call that opposition? Let me show you the result of the opposition. Look at verses 19 through 21. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Right there is perseverance. How many times have you been threatened not to do something, told you better not go that way, and many of us have heeded? Either out of fear, intimidation, discouragement. But Peter and John, in the face of opposition, said, "You decide if we should listen to you or we should listen to God. But we know what we've seen. We declare what we have seen, and we cannot help but to preach in that name." Look at verses 23 to 24. After the religious leaders threatened them severely and let them go, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." Drop down to verses 29 through 31. This is the continuation of their prayer to God. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." So in other words, there was opposition. Here's the perseverance. "Father, we heard what they said, but we know what you, Jesus, told us to do." So in the face of the threat, in the face of the difficulty, in the face of the rejection, we want you, Father, to empower us to speak even more boldly. We trust you that much, Father, that what natural man says to us is not our barometer. We trust you, Father, that we're going to go forth in your power and in your spirit, and we're going to do what you told us to do. And you know what, God? We believe you to back us up in it. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Quiet as is kept, most people would love to think that Christian life should be without opposition, that everything should be a bed of roses and easy. And have you ever thought, and no, I'm not looking for a show of hands, but have you ever thought, "Lord, what's up with this? I'm serving you. I'm giving you your tithes. I'm faithful. I'm committed. I'm doing my best to walk in love," and all this stuff is happening. Every time I turn around, there's a conflict. There's something trying to hinder me or just press on that nerve. Welcome to the club. Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 12. I really do believe that a part of our Christian resume should state requirement: you need to be able to persevere. It will develop your character. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, New King James Bible. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Go to verse 14, please. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And what does the last verse say? And they healed them all. This is the Great Commission being fulfilled. Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 18, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He told them that they were going to be laying hands on the sick. He said they were going to be casting out demons. So this is their walking out the fulfillment of what Jesus told them they were going to be doing. Let's go down to verse 17. 17 through 20. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles. Here we go again. Were they doing anything illegal? Were they doing anything immoral? Were they doing anything wrong? Opposition. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Now, how many of us would have thought we were having a dream? We were having an out-of-body experience and saying, wait a minute, I know I'm in prison. How are you going to tell me to go back there where they just arrested me from? Listen, or let's read the result of this opposition. Verse 21. And when they, and this is the apostles, heard that what the angel told them, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. They had to believe God, because if they didn't persevere, they would have stayed in prison. God told them through the angel, go back to where you originally were and continue teaching the people. Faith required them to obey the angel, but perseverance was what caused them to go back, knowing that they would be arrested again. In verses 22 through 28, the religious leaders went to look for the apostles in the prison where they had placed them, only to learn that the men were back in the temple, continuing, or another way of saying it, persevering, to preach in the name of Jesus, the very thing that got them thrown in jail to begin with. Then they brought them again before the high priest, who says to them in verse 28, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? In other words, are you crazy? We told you not to do this, and you have the audacity to go back out there and do it again? What's wrong with you? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man, meaning Jesus, because they were convicted by what they were preaching. This man's blood on this. Listen to the result of the opposition in the apostles' response in verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They had to push past the opposition. They had to not be moved by the physical threat of what could have happened to them, and trust God that he got them out of prison. He sent them back into the temple, and he was able to deliver them again. Let's jump down. Now, this only made the religious leaders more angry and determined to stop these men from preaching in the name of Jesus, which was their divine purpose. After another private deliberation among the religious leaders, listen to their response. Go to verse 40. And when they had called for the apostles, and what does your Bible say they did to them? Say it loud. Beaten them, They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Right there, how many of us would have disconnected? You don't have to raise your hand, but let's be real. How many of us would have said, Lord, this suffering is just a little bit much right now. Send Barnabas, send somebody else, but right now I need a timeout. This is a little intense. But listen to the result of the opposition. Verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Remember what I said perseverance is. It's going past the opposition. It's going past the difficulty or the hardship or the rejection or the resistance. It's saying, yes, this is happening, but that's my focus. That's my purpose. That's my goal. And I've got to stay focused on that. Yes, I will go through difficulty. Yes, I will have opposition, but the God who called me is well able to sustain me through it. So the question becomes, how many of us have ever in a situation of doing what you know was right? Were you threatened? Were you beaten? Were you rejected? Were you not appreciated or valued? Think about what your response was. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. This is character building. Acts chapter 8, I'm going to read the latter part of verse 1. At that time, a great persecution, and another word for persecution is opposition, rose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Drop down to verses 3 and 4. Now we know that this starts with saying, as for Saul, who became the apostle Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. This was severe persecution. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Again, this is the fulfillment of the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me," where? In Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. It took the persecution, the opposition, the rejection of the gospel which they preached to cause them to scatter, to go to Judea and Samaria and all of the other parts of the world. But even in that, the scripture says that as they went, they preached the gospel. Some of them were running for their lives. It wasn't an easy fit. They didn't have a nice comforting bed to sleep in every night. They didn't have 3 square meals all the time. But all they had was faith in the God who told them, "I will go with you, and these signs will follow." And so when opposition came, they had no choice. If I say I'm a follower of Christ, I've got to go through this opposition because I've got a purpose and a calling upon my life, and God will sustain me through this opposition. Turn over, please, to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at one last example of the early church experiencing and showing perseverance through opposition. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, the beginning of verse 5. I'm sorry, what did I say? I apologize. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through the beginning of verse 5. Now, in the days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And the rest of verse 5 tells the other disciples that they chose. And this is actually appointing the first deacons. But look at what the task was. It was to serve tables. And yet they had to choose men who were full of the Holy Spirit. It was a key requirement. Drop down verses 8 through 15. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freed men, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, beginning of opposition. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Here is the demonstration of the opposition. Verse 11. Then they secretly induced men to say, "Oh, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him, that Stephen, seized him and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him. They saw his face as the face of an angel. Now I'm going to put a pin right there. No raising of hands. Think about it. How many of us have ever been lied on? How many of us have had our good evil spoken of? How many of us, when we tried our best and was doing what we knew to be right, were disrespected, mistreated, devalued, and considered worthless? Imagine how Stephen felt. This was the opposition. Verses 54 to 60, excuse me, let me back up. Verses 2 through 50, Stephen methodically declares to the high priest and his council the God's plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. In that, Stephen declares when Abraham was called, when Moses was called, when the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage, when Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, that it was King David's desire to build God a house, but it was his son Solomon who fulfilled that desire. By the unction of the Holy Spirit, Stephen declared to the high priest and to his council the supremacy of God and God's plan to bring forth his holy child, Jesus, who the message was rejected and opposed by the forefathers of these very council leaders who were opposing him now. But the reality of it is, family, think about this. Have you ever found in those scriptures where Stephen defended himself? Have you ever seen where Stephen said, "You know, I'm only doing what God told me to do. I don't know why you would talk about me like that. That's not right." Does the scripture ever tell us that Stephen went to anyone else in his company and say, "Let me tell you what those people said about me"? True perseverance, and this is a place where I'm working to get to by the Spirit of God. True perseverance says, while it may pinch my flesh, and I don't necessarily like how you treat me, I'm going to persevere beyond and past that to please God. I don't have time to take the liberty to focus on the offense, to focus on the disrespect, to focus on the lie or how I was treated, because in that I give the enemy place to distract me, and all of a sudden I'm not making any progress anymore because I've camped down in, look what they did to me. Look how they spoke to me. Look what they treated me with. But the reality of it is Stephen took no mention that they lied on him. Stephen did not attempt to defend himself. He didn't even address it. What he did was, to their lies, he spoke the truth about Jesus, because that was his purpose. That was his focus. And while we know the rest of the story, that Stephen ultimately gave up his life, there is victory in perseverance. Let's read verses 54 through 60 of the same chapter. I apologize. We're now in verse chapter 7. I'm sorry. When these false witnesses lied against Stephen, the high priest asked Stephen in verse 1 of chapter 7, are these things so? So verse 2 to 50 is Stephen declaring Jesus. He's not answering about himself. He's not defending himself. He's not talking about the offense. He's telling the truth about his Savior. He's talking about the redemption plan of God. He's giving testimony to the supremacy of God that overrides the offense or the opposition of those religious leaders of the day. So let's pick it up in chapter 7 at verse 54. When they heard these things, and this is the testimony of Stephen, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. It means they gritted their teeth at him. But he, meaning Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of the Lord. Oh boy, does that take perseverance. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a scene that must have been. And said, look, Stephen says, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out, the people cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. I'm sure they may have wondered, what's the matter with him? We did all of this. We talked about him like a dog, as we would say. And he's talking about seeing Jesus. He's crazy. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who we know then becomes the Apostle Paul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God. And what was he saying? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Not do you see what they've done? Not do you hear what they say? Remember what I said perseverance is. In the face of discouragement, in the face of opposition, in the face of difficulties, in the face of challenging, perseverance says, I'm going to keep going. I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning away. Yes, it may hurt. Yes, it may disappoint. And yes, you may shed a tear in the process. But oh, I know the God who is your comforter. And he is the God that sustains us. He is the God that watches over us. He's the God that avenges us. And even if he doesn't, he's the God that receives us when we open our eyes in glory. So the reality of it is, we are no different than our Savior, who came at the will of the Father, who gave up all that he had in heaven to take on flesh, and was persecuted and rejected and despised and spit upon, even by those who said they believed him. And yet his perseverance is, but I've got to go to the cross. I've got to go to the cross, because if I don't, they won't make it. They won't make it. She won't make it. And that was his purpose, and that was his cause. So he demonstrated the perseverance by faith in God, that the God who called him would sustain him. Should we do any less? In verse 60 of chapter 7, then he, Stephen, knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The Bible tells us to bless those who curse us. It tells us to do good to them who despitefully use us. It tells us to pray for to love our enemies. So the reality of it is Stephen demonstrated that in his perseverance. I'm not going to even take a breath to talk about them, Father. I'm going to pray for them as I leave this side. I'm going to demonstrate this life before them that if nothing else, they will say, not only did we think he was crazy, but he was different. There was something different about this man. He didn't respond in kind like other natural people do. Can people say that about us? Do they see that about us? That's character building. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifetime process because conflict is always going to come. As long as we are in this earth and interpersonal relationships, even among ourselves in the body of Christ. How many married people are in here tonight? How many of you would say you've had to work through some conflict? You've had to work through some opposition. But the love that you have for your spouse was the basis or foundation that caused you to say, you know what? Even if they don't treat me the way I believe they should, I'm going to persevere in this love. I'm going to look past and love beyond, and I'm going to treat them like God treats me. And I can't afford to hold this against them. It's no different for any of us in the body of Christ. Just like we've looked at these few examples here, conflict does come up in the church, in interpersonal relationships, sometimes in working together, sometimes in serving together, sometimes in planning and coordinating. But the bottom line must be, what is the common good? And what is the purpose of God in that? So that if we keep our focus on that, all of that other stuff, it's going to fade. It's going to fade. But the reality must be that I must want the will of God so much that I'm willing to push past the opposition, regardless of what people say, regardless of how they respond or they don't respond. The reality of it is Christ validates us. Christ is the one who esteems our value. If nobody ever says to you, you know what? I recognize and see what you're doing. I appreciate that. That's not even our focus or our goal. It sounds nice. It's a good thing every now and then you would like to know. But the reality of it is if nobody ever says it to you, as long as you know you are walking in the walk that God has called you to, as long as you know you are doing the area, the responsibility, the commitment, and fulfilling the purpose that God has given to you, stay on that course and don't be moved. Because in perseverance, there is steadfastness. That though the wind may blow, though all this stuff may come at you, you are still moving forward. And even if there's a failure, even if there's a defeat, even if there's a disappointment, get up! We don't have liberty or time to stay back and nurse the hurt and say, I don't want to do this anymore and I've had it with this and I'm out of this place. Because guess what? When you go somewhere else, you bring conflict with you. Every one of us is possible and probable to participate or contribute to conflict, even if we don't think we could do it. Yes, we can. In these human bodies, with these natural minds, oh, yes, we can. But every one of us in Christ must be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that when he says, you know what, you could go that way and have your way, but the reality of it is you need to stay over here and work with everybody. Because there's development there that I'm working in you. Sometimes we don't realize that in the opposition, in the conflict, God's working on us. God's pruning and settling and establishing us. God's giving us opportunity to see, you know what? I reacted that way the last time. I need to bring it up. Father, help me. So how is he going to help you? He's going to allow you to walk into conflict. And if we're sensitive enough, he's going to tell you, listen and follow my leading. Don't say what you said the last time. Don't react or respond the way you did the last time. Look for the common good and listen for my purpose in this situation. I will walk you through it. Sometimes you may come away feeling a little disappointed. Disappointed that you may not have gotten to please your flesh. Disappointed that you didn't get to have your way and tell somebody what you wanted to say. But the reality of it is that really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The heart and the purpose of God, The plan and the will of God must be foremost for every single one of us. Ben, are you here tonight? Is Benjamin here tonight? Can I borrow you for a moment? Can you help me with a demonstration? This is how God showed it to me. We're going to look at perseverance in the face of opposition. Deacon John, I need you, please. Now, Ben represents every one of us, the individual Christian. If you would just stand out there, face Deacon John as he's coming, please. Deacon John, I need you to face Ben. Deacon John represents, for this demonstration only, I'm not speaking this about him. He represents opposition, conflict, rejection, whatever the conflict or the opposition is, you put the label there. Now, Deacon John, I need you to oppose Ben. Don't hurt him because I don't want to have to talk to Lynn in the parking lot. Please. But Ben, he's going to put pressure on you. He's going to put his hands on your shoulders and he's going to try to move you. With everything that's within you, I need you to resist it. Okay? Go ahead. What is Ben doing? He's gaining endurance. He's gaining strength. He's operating in patience. Pastor Greg, can I borrow you for a minute? Keep going. No, you're not finished. This is life. Come on. Pastor Greg, I'm sorry. Can I borrow you for a moment, please? So when we're going through the opposition, when there's conflict, would you go stand behind Ben? Ben, I need you to stand up straight. Pastor Greg, don't touch him. Deacon John, without hurting Ben, push him as hard as you can. Where did Ben go? Pastor Greg represents the grace of God that sustains us in our perseverance. Because when we choose to persevere, and it's a choice, when we demean in our heart that, you know what, Lord, I could run, I could give up, I could let go, I could turn another way, but I'm going to stand here and I'm going to persevere. I'm not giving in. I'm not letting go. I'm not backing off. Do it again, please. The grace of God stands behind us to back us up in the perseverance and says, I've got you in this. I'm not about to let you fall. I will pick you up if you slide, and I'll hold your hand if you go down. But God won't let us fail when we choose to persevere. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember the definition. Perseverance is the quality or characteristic that allows us to continue to do something even when it is difficult. It is our continued effort to achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. How many of us are willing to persevere? It's our God-given command, but it's character building, and it requires our heart commitment to be steadfast, immovable, and not backing off. Praise the Lord.